Good morning, everyone. How are you all doing this morning? Good morning. It is my privilege to be preaching this morning. My name is David. For those of you who don't know, or those of you who are visiting, special welcome to you. I give a shout out to everyone at home as well, watching in their pajamas in front of their TVs. I know a few times during when we were closed down, and there was a few times we were in bed just watching on in the morning, so I'm sure you're enjoying yourselves there. And I have to give a shout out to my daughter and my son, Abigail and Isaiah. How's it going? Daddy's on TV. I'm famous. Finally. No, it's great. Great to be back together again, though, and can't wait till we're all back together, worshiping, singing with, singing out together and worshiping God again. That's going to be an amazing time. I'm looking forward to that. Anyways, today we are looking at Psalm 121, a psalm of ascent. A psalm of ascent is a psalm the Israelites would have used to either prepare themselves for a trip back to Jerusalem, or even a psalm they would have used while on the journey to be a steadfast reminder that they were going back to Jerusalem to worship at the temple. These types of psalms would have prepared their hearts and their minds for their time at the temple, so they would function in a small way, like kind of like the songs we were singing this morning. They not only help you express your worship to God, but function as a reminder of who God is and why we gather week after week. And now more than ever, these psalms can speak to us in this time of COVID-19, where some of us gather here in worship in this sanctuary, and some of us are still at home as well. These psalms, our songs, are preparing our hearts for a day when we will all again be able to gather together as a body of Christ and sing praises together about our great God. Before we get into the psalm, why don't I read it for you from start to finish so we get a good idea of the journey that is depicted in the Psalm of Ascent. Now, we'll be reading using the ESV translation today. Usually we use the NIV we've preached from here at Steele Heights, but I wanted to use the ESV specifically because there's a Hebrew word in it called shamar, and in the ESV it is translated the same way throughout this psalm, translated in the English for the word keep. In other biblical translations, they use a variety of different English words and phrases to translate that, but it's a great literary device for us to just remind us of how God keeps us. So that's why I picked this translation for us tomorrow to use, and it'll be this morning to use, and it'll be on the screen for us as well. If you want to read with me as well, that'd be great. I think it's a great way we can all kind of come together as a congregation. And if you're at home as well, join us as we read this Psalm 121. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in, from this day forth and forevermore. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word speaks into our life and reveals your truth to us, Father. We pray, God, that you would use it this morning to speak into our individual lives, God. We know that you can speak intimately into our lives, God, and that you are ever near to us through your Spirit, Father. So we just pray this morning, God, use my words and my preparation to be instruments of your will, God. God, I pray for all the people that are unable to gather with us as well. I pray that you would meet with them at home and that you would guide them in their lives. I pray for people who are sick and people who are unhealthy during this time. God, may your hand of healing be on them as well. And we just pray that you would guide us throughout this service and it would be for your glory. Pray this in your holy name. Amen. So the Psalm of Ascent is a deep assurance in the journey that lies ahead and builds a confidence as we make our way through it. We'll see where this psalmist places his confidence in a God who is able to provide such a deep assurance in the midst of troubles in life's journey and troubles that may face him on this journey to Jerusalem specifically. We see this coming up in the first verse of the psalm as the writer questions, "I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from?" Some people read this and think the writer is depicting someone who is in distress and is looking skyward to the hills in search of help in his present troubles, a sort of plea to God. But rather, this is actually a declaration of assurance, because readily in the next verse, he answers his own question almost rhetorically. "My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." So the two things we get from this is that, one, yes, the writer is looking for help, but two, he is confident that the Lord is the answer. The Lord is his great helper. You see, when the writer of this psalm is talking about the hills before him, he is not merely looking at them as an obstacle in life that needs help to overcome. But rather, the hills are showing him that he is getting closer and closer to the great Mount Zion in Jerusalem. The hills that he is depicting here are the hills in the Judean wilderness, just outside the holy city, meaning he is getting closer to his destination and the anticipation of being in the holy city. Jerusalem and the temple of God's presence is what's driving the author forward in this journey. When he looks up to the hills, he is not looking to them for help, but he is looking beyond them to the creator of heaven and earth. Derek Kidner, an English scholar, says it really well in one of his commentaries on the Psalms. He says it this way: "The thought of this verse," that's verse 2, "leaps beyond the hills to the universe, beyond the universe to its maker. He is living help, primary, personal, wise, and immeasurable. This is who we put our trust in when we are looking for help. No, not the creation around us, not in our material possessions or humans that may let us down. We put our hope and our trust in the creator of all the universe." When we hear this opening to the psalm, this question of where does our help come from, we know that we serve a God who desires a personal relationship with us, with his people. So no matter how big of a crisis we are in or how small of troubles are, our God cares and will be with us through each of those circumstances. He will watch over us and over you in all of our situations of life. Often when a text paints a picture of God as a God of the universe, that can make him feel almost distant from us rather than personal. That maybe God is on the other side of the universe or the other side of the world, caring for something bigger than what I am going through. But what this psalm will show us is that God, the creator of the universe, draws near to us in our troubles. And he cares for even the smallest details of our lives. He is a God who, by his very nature, desires to be a part of every intimate detail of our lives. We will see this as we look at the details of these verses that follow in this psalm. Now, that word keep that I mentioned in the beginning, that one word that plays out a great deal of meaning in this psalm, as it is repeated about six times. Each of those six times, the word translated keep in the ESV comes from the Hebrew word shamar. In other translations, it is translated as watch over or preserves. It is repeated over and over again in this psalm as a tool to remind us that God is our keeper, that he watches over us, that he preserves us and preserves our lives. It is not simply just a repetitive mantra from the writer. I think as a Christian, sometimes we think that if we just repeat something over and over again like a mantra, that the Lord is my keeper, the Lord is my keeper, then maybe we'll begin to believe it, which is not the case here. As the psalm shows us, God is our keeper who watches over us, and he is the one who we must place our trust on. This is an active thing in our lives. Throughout this psalm, we will see that God, as our keeper, is a sure foundation to place our trust in. That he is a vigilant watchman over us. That his presence in our lives shades us from harm. And finally, that he is our protector of our lives as well. Let's look at that first line of verse 3. He will not let your foot be moved. One day, me and my family decided to go for a walk in the river valley, a little hike in the river valley. And that morning, I was deciding which pair of footwear should I wear. Should I wear my runners or should I wear my flip-flops? It was a really hot summer day, just got a brand new pair of flip-flops. I'm like, I think I want to wear my flip-flops. Odds are good. It's going to be a nice little bike path through the river valley. Be a nice paved path. Turns out that was not even close to the truth. It was a nice dirt path with loose gravel, roots coming up from it, and lots of incline and little hiking path through the river valley. And at that time, Abigail's 5 now, but she was 2 then, so about the majority of the time I had her on my shoulders. So I'm walking down through the river valley path, watching each individual step, trying not to lose my balance so I don't drop my child off my shoulders and I don't fall. But it was very cautious, and I had to make sure each step had a firm foundation underneath my feet. Well, if you can imagine trying to journey through the Judean wilderness in sandals, you can guess that it is probably treacherous at times as well. Lots of dirt paths with rocks as they travel through the hill country on the way to Jerusalem. I assume they were also worried about slipping and falling, and probably did from time to time as well. So when the author here says that he is confident that the Lord will not let his foot be moved, this means that he has a firm foundation in the knowledge that the one who he places his trust in. Each step he takes on the journey is a confidence that God is guiding his steps and taking care of him while he is walking. It is just the same for us. We must come to a firm conviction that God is guiding our steps daily. And knowing that should give us confidence on the journey of life. The second image that we see in these two verses is a watchman that is ever vigilant. The journey to Jerusalem for some may have been more than a day's journey, meaning that they may have had to spend the night in the wilderness or in a neighboring town along the way. This also means that if you were out in the wilderness, you probably take turns taking watch overnight, so you would have taken a few days on this journey. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm sleeping in the wilderness, I hope someone is going to stand watch while I am asleep, and I hope that person is going to be reliable, right? You don't want just anyone keeping watch. You want someone to keep watch who isn't going to get tired or fall asleep as well. You want someone that is going to take their shift and watch seriously so you actually feel comfortable enough to get some rest. Well, in this psalm, God is depicted as the perfect watchman. He will not slumber, and he does not need to sleep. The Lord is constantly watching over you day and night. He is caring for you. This shows us not only the omnipresence of God, but also that he need not sleep. He always knows what everyone is going through, including the intimate details about our situations. It shows us the closeness of how God cares for his people, that he sustains us by day and by night. What great assurance we have in God watching out for us. Even the statement that the same God that watches over Israel is watching over you and I in verse 4 can give us a great amount of confidence. Yes, he is the creator of heaven and earth, and also the watchman of Israel, but he also cares intimately for each and every one of his children. That is what this verse is trying to show us, the nearness of God's care for his people. In James Montgomery Boyce's commentary on this psalm, he tells a story of Alexander the Great and his assurance in his personal watchman. It says this: when a person asked the Greek general, Alexander the Great, of how he could sleep soundly when he was surrounded by so much personal danger, he replied that Parmenio, his faithful guard, was watching. So, how much more soundly should we sleep when God, who never slumbers nor sleeps, is guarding us? If Alexander the Great put such great confidence in his personal watchman, we should put so much more confidence in our God. As the imagery continues in this psalm, we see how God, through his presence in our lives, shades us from harm. In verse 5 and 6, there is a very real danger from the sun, especially when you are in the midst of it in the Judean wilderness. Heatstroke could have ended the journey to Jerusalem very quickly if you were not careful and didn't take precautions. Now, the details of the imagery that the author is using here are quite interesting. When he says God is our shade, it could also mean dwelling place. Those two words can be interchangeable, meaning it is God's very near presence in our life that shades us or protects us from harm. It's again an emphasis on how close God is to us in caring for us. This image kind of reminded me of the time that God protected Jonah from the sun, miraculously making a plant grow to protect Jonah from the sun as he sat overlooking Nineveh. However, in this psalm, it is the Lord who is the shade, showing his nearness to the weary traveler. Now, why does it say that both the sun and the moon will not strike you? We know the sun's rays are harmful, but you don't exactly get heat stroke from the moonlight, right? Well, most people agree that this is just an emphasis that the Lord will protect you both by day and by night. That his protection for you is unceasing. It is around the clock. When we read this verse, however, one might come to the conclusion that that means we as Christians, we as God's people, will never experience harm, and assume it means that God will protect us from all harm. This, of course, is wrong. Really, the psalm is guaranteeing that, yes, there will be times of trouble, but the Lord will always provide for you, even within those times of trouble. For it was Jesus who said, "In this world there will be trouble," again guaranteeing that as Christians, we will undergo crisis in our lives. But then what does Jesus say? But take heart, for I have overcome the world. Our hope is eternal, beyond the troubles of this world. And that is the hope we must look to in times of crisis in our lives. Verse 7 and 8 end in a crescendo of confidence and assurance as the author of this psalm no longer looks to imagery to convey his confidence in the Lord, but plainly speaks of the vastness of God's provision for his people. Three of the six times keep is mentioned in this psalm is in these last two verses, constantly reminding us over and over again, the Lord is watching over us. In three different ways. First, the Lord will keep us from all evil, which means in any harm that comes our way, the Lord will provide a way through it. Next, he will keep your life, meaning that in all the days of your life, he will guide you and care for you. And finally, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in. Which means as you rise from bed in the morning till when you go to sleep that evening, the Lord will protect you. And from this time forth and forevermore is a look to eternity. Even in this psalm, the author looks to eternity for hope. He looks beyond his days to forevermore that the Lord will keep him safe. And that is his assurance that his hope is eternal. Now, I don't want to just leave you with that mantra idea again, right? That if we just repeat this phrase over and over again, the Lord will keep me, the Lord will keep me, the Lord will keep me, as we see in the psalm, it's repetitive over and over. But how do we actively live this out in our lives? When it seems like a situation in life comes out of left field, or all the metaphorical mountains in our life kind of stacked up against us. Or when we feel like we are going to stumble and fall into the depths of sin. When it seems like day and night evil is knocking at our door. How do we actively live out this truth that the Lord will keep us? First, there's three little basic solutions, I think, that are foundations to our life as Christians. First of all, we must constantly remind ourselves that this is biblical truth, that we can look to God's word for the years and years and generations of his faithfulness, of God keeping watch over Israel and the early church. And how he never let them slip from his grasp. He never broke a promise. And that he always kept them. So remember what God has done and how he has been faithful. Second, don't trust our own desires. But pray that the Holy Spirit might give you new desires. When I am shaken by the trials of this world, and yes, there will be trials, remember, Jesus said, in this life, there will be trouble. But when I am shaken, I feel prone to wander from my God. I pray, Holy Spirit, change the desires of my heart. Put to death the old man inside of me and his desires. And remind me of who I am in you. Remind my heart and my feelings of who you created me to be as a son of the Most High King. Put to death my fears and replace them with courage. Put to death my worries and replace them with a peace that surpasses all understanding. I am convinced that is where the true transformation takes place, in the Spirit changing the desires of our heart. Then, on the journey of life, we begin not only to feel, but also see how the Lord is keeping us through each step of life. And finally, look to the body of Christ for encouragement. The testimony of other believers and the ways the Lord has kept them safe and secure, or how the Lord has walked through them, through some really tough times with them in life, can be some of the most encouraging testimonies and stories, and can show us once again that God is faithful. And God can also show us that we can walk through those similar circumstances as well if we trust in Him. I know lately I was a little shaken because of this whole pandemic and all of the repercussions of it as well. April 18th, I believe it was, I was laid off from work for temporary leave, as I'm sure a lot of people experienced. I think it was between 20 and 25% of Canadians experienced that at one time. And I was laid off for about 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and then went back for a three-week stint. They had a project, and was off for another three-week stint, and finally I'm back at work again. But those first 2 weeks, I really enjoyed my time off and enjoyed my little government-paid vacation, and I know we'll be paying back for it in taxes probably for years and years to come, but I enjoyed it. Got to go golfing with Pastor Darren and Gordon as well, so that was enjoyable. But then those third and fourth weeks kind of set in, and worry started to set in. There was good days and there was bad days. On the bad days, I was kind of consumed by worry. I need to provide for my family. Am I ever going to get called back? Is this not temporary leave not going to be so temporary? Is it going to be permanent? There was good days and bad. But what made the good days good was not when I put my hope in my employer calling me back, but when I put my hope in God, who I knew had a plan for my life. So I turned to the Word for confidence, who God created me to be, and how He's been faithful in my life. I pray that the Spirit would help me feel reassurance of His calling in my life, and help me believe that truth, even when I don't feel it. And finally, I look to the testimony of those around me that have gone through and persevered through this pandemic as well. Now, I know there are many more in our church that are going through much, much more than being temporarily laid off. And this pandemic sure has added extra bit of sting and stress to the already tough things we go through in life. I know there are those who have lost loved ones during this tough time, who have gone through surgeries or been diagnosed with cancer. Or maybe you have not been able to comfort a loved one the way you would like to because of all these social distance rules and restrictions that face us on a daily basis now. All of these things are tough on their own, but even a little harder now. I think and I pray especially for those who struggle with mental illness or anxiety or depression. The last thing you probably needed was to have that added anxiety of the pandemic. I want you to know that I've been praying for you, and I encourage all of us to continue to reach out to each other in the church, to encourage each other and pray for each other with one another through this time. And remember that we're not alone, but remember that the Lord is right beside you through all of this, throughout this tough time, and He will keep you near to Him, and He will not let you stumble through this time. Would you join me as we pray? Worship team, you can come up as well. Father, I thank You that we can look to Your Word for assurance of Your faithfulness, that You will keep us, that even in the little things of life, the little troubles, You will rock by us. You will keep us in those times, but also You will keep us through the tough times, God. And as we face this new normal, we call it, of this pandemic, God, may You give us assurance that You are with us. May Your Holy Spirit draw near to us and assure us that You are ever present with us. May we reach out to the believers around us and as a body come together through other means than coming together in this sanctuary, but reach out and encourage each other and build each other up in prayer and let each other know that we are with them through tough times as well. So, Father, as we close in this final song, may it be just a reassurance that we will stay close to you throughout this time. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.
Would you stand and worship with us?
Thank you, David, for that good word today. The Lord keeps us. As you go out this morning, I encourage you to go through the lobby and just keep going right out the front doors and enjoy some fellowship on the front lawn there. You're welcome to talk to each other and just enjoy each other out there. As we close today from Numbers 6, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.